don't frighten us by telling us the facts, 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 the facts. We must be the great arsenal of democracy. For us, this is an emergency as serious as war itself. We must apply ourselves to our task with the same resolution, the same sense of urgency, the same spirit of patriotism and sacrifice as we would show were we at war.
For 91.3 FM WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark in the great state of Delaware, I'm Bill Humphrey, and thanks for listening. The following episode was recorded on September 23rd, 2018, and produced by me at my studio in Newton, Massachusetts. This week, Rachel and Nate join me to talk about the recent defense spending authorization and various public health funding attached to it. That's all coming up on Arsenal for Democracy. Episodes are available for download on Tuesdays at arsenalfordemocracy.com and from iTunes or Stitcher. We air the show in Delaware on 91.3 FM and stream it simultaneously from WVUD.org on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. Follow us on Twitter at AFD Radio or like us on Facebook. This is Arsenal for Democracy. You're listening to Arsenal for Democracy. I'm your host, Bill Humphrey. Joining me on the line from Idaho is Rachel. Hello, Rachel.
Hi, Bill.
And on the line this week, back again, is Nate. Hi, Nate.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Rachel.
So we're going to be talking this week about the recent minibus appropriations bill that went through Congress. This is, instead of an omnibus, a slightly smaller package, passing a lot of funding for various areas of the government. Rachel, I don't know if you were planning to talk about any of the non-military areas, but the bulk of our episode is going to focus on the military component of that, which probably got the most attention. Let's start with that first, I guess. Nate, where's the jumping off point on this that you want to focus on?
Well, you know, it was named, of course, after the late Senator McCain, and so there was a little bit of controversy over Trump not saying McCain's name, I guess, at the final authorization. That was sort of like the headline for the resistance. No, that was just sort of the tag for, you know, everyone that's, you know, super concerned about Trump's civility and norms and all that stuff. So, but anyway, this package went through, I believe, 93-7. I think there was one where it was 90-10, but... it's going to end up being $717 billion for the nation's military, and it's going to be a historically high military budget, and basically, yeah, they're continuing to ramp up all sorts of stuff. And a couple notable things about this bill, I guess, was that they provided, and this sometimes happens, but they provided more equipment than the Pentagon actually asked for. So they're adding, 75 new F-35 jet fighters, and we've talked about those in the past. Even McCain said the jet was a scandal and a tragedy for its schedule and budget problems. So this is about 16 more than the Pentagon asked for. So they also funded, and this is sort of the hook that I wanted to talk about initially, they included funds for 13 more ships, which is three more than the Navy asked for. And these three ships are going to be the littoral combat ships, which I think we've talked about in the past here. But it's sort of a ship that is designed to go in sort of rivers and the shore area. And basically it has a bunch of different packages, I guess, that people are supposed to have, like, different types of missions it can go on. But apparently Congress actually cut a lot of the funding for those different types of missions, so like submarine detection and all sorts of other programs like that, minesweeping, things like that. So it's basically they're not letting it do the mission, but they're demanding that they make more of them when it's been sort of unofficially dubbed internally in the military as the LCS, the little crappy ship. So it kind of seemed like the Navy was shutting down the program, but Congress... as part of the sort of congressional military complex, as Eisenhower initially called it, decided that they just needed a couple more. I think actually there was a request put in by Tammy Baldwin, because I guess some of the ships are made up in her state there. They have their own shipyard. So sort of how the pork is getting made in that situation.
Rachel, do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, as Nate pointed out, a lot of these like facilities for manufacturing these unnecessary warships are in prime states with representatives that are lobbying hard to keep those jobs in those states. So like Nate said, it's just a big bunch of pork and stuff that the Pentagon doesn't even want, and yet like we don't have the money to fund other sections of our government, and it's very disheartening to see the vote count.
Yeah, I think so there were a couple sort of high profile senators that voted against it, especially ones that are lining up to potentially run for president. So that includes Kamala Harris, Kirsten Gillibrand, Elizabeth Warren, Cory Booker, and of course Bernie Sanders. And so, you know, but some of these senators, like they voted on other defense authorized bills, they've voted to support them. So, yeah. But to build off what Rachel was saying, that, yeah, Baldwin was talking about how her home state of Wisconsin houses the Ficanteri Marionette Marine Shipyard, I guess, which builds one of the variants of the littoral combat ship. There's two. One is like a catamaran, sort of. There's like the Freedom and Independence class. So, yeah, no. But each of these ships are about something like $1.5 billion for the three ships. The president's budget only requested one ship, and $646 million, but then they bumped it up to three. So, yeah, no, I mean, this is sort of a long-running thing where they can't really get the littoral combat ship to work in its intended function, but they just sort of keep needing to throw it out there. So, yeah, they got the funding to the sensors that made the littoral combat ship somewhat valuable. And it appears, and Bill, I don't know if you've heard about this, or Rachel, they want to have like a 355-ship Navy, and that's like their goal or something. But
why
it doesn't
they,
apparently it doesn't
why
matter
do they
why
specific
the quality
number?
Of the ships. I don't know. I guess this must be like some sort of 5-year plan or something that they set out for themselves.
Now
that's been popping
up. Is this 5-year plan also part of this theme that this is aimed at China? you were mentioning before we started recording that this was the overall defense bill and a lot of the naval stuff was, I guess, directed specifically in the direction of China, which is not, I guess, too surprising since Donald Trump's advisor on China is Peter Navarro, who churns out a book every year about how it's inevitable that there will be a great power struggle militarily between China and the United States, and we have to prepare for it.
Yeah, I think they watered down some of the anti-Chinese measures, but the Chinese Minister of Foreign Affairs was not happy, and they complained about it regardless. This was earlier this month when it got put in. We urged the U.S. to discard its outdated Cold War and zero-sum mentality. So this is sort of the view from the Communist Party of China there.
Other elements that we should be focusing on in this John Sidney McCain III defense spending bill?
One interesting article from In These Times pointed out that basically if we were at the same level that we were at pre-9/11 in terms of military spending, so still like $400 billion, we could easily do the free college, one of Bernie's proposals. Could do also, I mean, $300 billion is a lot of money, so you could do all sorts of stuff with that. But, and this is just, you know, another one of these bills, because every year there's going to be more and more gets keep added on. The bill also has $65 million for low-yield nuclear weapons, Hiroshima-sized bombs, 1,000 of the MOABs that Trump dropped in Afghanistan. I think they're like repurposing like old nuclear bombs and then making more. So that's a situation there. Apparently, there was initially going to be 93 F-35 fighters that the House subcommittee wanted, and that got pared down a little bit. And then, of course, the Space Force is sort of being discussed in this bill as well. The Senate deferred the president's repeated request basically for the new Space Force. So I guess that's being shunted off into some other bill. We mentioned about how this is sort of just a minibus and not the traditional omnibus type of bill. But yeah, so
it sounded like people were saying that this was the largest defense spending bill ever outside of the context of the Iraq War era. I don't know. That's sort of a weird bench like qualification to add in there, because obviously that was pretty significant and ongoing for quite a while. But in the sort of like ongoing permanent war, of course, we just had the anniversary of 9/11 rolling around again. And I guess in I think any day now, people who are 17 can pre-sign up to go fight who were not born when 9/11 happened. They can go fight in Afghanistan. But setting all that aside, this is one of the larger, I guess, you can't say peacetime because the war is still going on, but outside of the context of like the Iraq surge and stuff, this is the largest defense spending bill. What is, I mean, is it just that they're throwing all this pork around on this, or I mean, what are they doing? Like,
yeah, it seems like they're just acquiring funds to build these things, but with no real plan to use them in any way. So it's, as it mentioned in These Times article, it seems like the real winner is Lockheed Martin, because they are the ones that get all these sweet government contracts to build these things, even though they're completely unnecessary. So we'll just shove more money at them with no clear idea of what it's for.
Yeah, no, and I mean, apparently there's been a recent trend, and by recent, I mean over the past couple decades or whatever, but of high-level cost overruns for these defense contractors. Like, obviously, that would have happened in the past or whatever, but this is like almost, it seems like it's sometimes like multiple times what the project was initially thought to cost, and you just, you know, double it or whatever. So yeah, it seems like the real issue is just an unlimited sort of spigot for these massive defense contractors, and there's just no point in turning off the money, because even people like Elizabeth Warren, who has voted on these types of bills in the past and voted yes in the past, she like had a statement put out that where she was trumpeting funding for Hanscom and Westover Air Force Base, which are in Massachusetts here. So, I mean, even so, you know, there is that pressure on a lot of these senators and representatives. And I think that Baldwin had a similar thing in her statement. So there is that pressure for these Democrats to just go along with it and not really make this a big issue, because a lot of the times it doesn't seem like war is, you know, an actual serious issue, or just sort of a sideshow, because it's sort of off the camera. It's not like it was during Iraq. We use drones a lot more now. So, yeah, it's a little bit out of sight.
Now, I had heard that there was some very small effort to try to do something about the Yemen situation as part of this. And of course, I guess nobody really wanted to do anything about it. I say nobody, I mean, you know, we're talking again these 90-something to whatever votes.
Yeah, no, there was an attempt to use the War Powers Resolution to try to do something about the U.S. role in the Yemen war. And also there was an attempt to use this new Defense Authorization Act and try to put it, I guess, in the fine print. So a bunch of a bipartisan coalition, actually, including Beto O'Rourke, who is the of course the race in Texas right now, they provided a provision, yeah, as you said, Bill, to limit the NDAA's use towards the war in Yemen, and basically it would require measures like the Secretary of State has to verify that U.S.-backed coalition is taking steps to alleviate humanitarian disaster and minimize harm to civilians, and certification of such as needed for the U.S. to engage in mid-air refueling to stop the to support bombing campaigns. However, the Secretary of State could issue a waiver to allow mid-air refueling for security reasons, as long as a detailed justification is given to Congress. So basically just sounds like they allowed them to just do it, even if they're told not to, as long as you have a reason.
Good, great. Good.
Excellent. Really, really tied their hands there. They have to issue a waiver,
and then they will enthusiastically do various waivers.
And this, of course, happened. This discussion and debate happened as the there was a lot of media attention over the bombing of a bus, killed 55 civilians and children, and all of this stuff as the main port city of Hodeidah is being besieged and increasing the starvation, because that's where a lot of the food comes through. So that's sort of the backdrop for all of this.
Now, Rachel, as I said at the beginning, this is a bill that was primarily defense, and that was getting the bulk of the attention, but it was not exclusively defense spending. You wanted to talk about some of the other elements in the bill?
Yes. So this also included funding for the labor, education, and health and human services departments. So funding for this next fiscal year totals $178 billion, which is a $1 billion increase from last year and almost $11 billion more than Trump requested in his budget proposal for this year. I think they're trying to tout it as like, look, we're getting more money than Trump asked for. But at the same time, we won, quote unquote, $1 billion for these other departments while giving up $17 billion for defense. So I think it's kind of a very Pyrrhic victory here. So yay, $1 billion extra. And we did get some other victories in this bill. There's no ban on funding for Planned Parenthood, which I think that Paul Ryan was really involved with that. And they wanted to block funding for fetal tissue research, kind of saying that Planned Parenthood aborts babies and then experiments on them is kind of the common framing of it. And they also wanted to block funding to administer the ACA, and we kind of blocked that. So it's definitely bittersweet. I know the National Institute for Health got a pretty significant increase in funding for this year. So like cancer research, stuff like that. And there was also a short-term reauthorization of the until December 7th of the Violence Against Women Act. Hopefully there is a longer-term reauthorization, because that is like one of the few good bills that are enacted right now. So I think that's definitely a very important bill. There is some funding for the wall between Mexico and our border.
But it seemed like maybe they were pushing off most of that until later on in the year.
Yeah. So maybe we're just kind of hoping it gets forgotten about, which it kind of
is. Well, not less forgotten about and more deal with it after the election in the lame duck session.
Yeah, exactly. Just kind of kicking the can down the road. So GOP leaders, according to this article, are convinced they do not have the votes in the Senate to get Trump the money he wants. And so they don't want to put up a messy fight right now until after the midterms.
I guess it's at a point now where they can't credibly take a vote on it and have it lose and still be able to use that in campaign ads, because people will be like, you control every branch of government. How did you lose? If they're someone who supported, you know, building the wall. So this way, put it off till after the election. They'll have the votes then, whether or not they lose or win the elections in November. And there won't be consequences. So they can just like ram it through then or whatever. But right now there are some people who are too vulnerable to vote for it. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming.
Yeah. Probably. Something else good with HHS, there's over $1 billion to combat the opioid crisis. That's only good in as much as they use the funding effectively. I know there's been a lot of like trying to attack the supply side of addiction, which has been proven not to work very well. You have to provide care to addicted people in a non-judgmental, non-punishing sort of way, and that's not how we like to do things in this country. So I'm cautiously optimistic, I guess. I think it all depends in the way it's implemented. We can't just throw money at the problem if we're doing it badly. And I did get a number for the NIH. They get an additional $2 billion this year, and an additional $86 million to the All of Us Research Program, which aims to collect biospecimens and health data from 1 million donors. I'm kind of unclear what that is for. Hopefully it's not weird private information.
So overall, though, it seems like sort of the takeaway, I'm guessing, on a lot of this is like, as you were, I think, sort of hinting around at earlier, Like, we've talked about previously on the show how there were some pretty severe or eliminationist cuts being proposed in earlier budgets in the and spending authorizations in the Trump administration. And so the notion that, like, well, we got an extra billion or something like that, relative to the actual needs of the organizations, like, is not that much. But they say, oh, well, it could have been zero. It could have been wiped out completely. A lot of people are willing to take that win, which, of course, then sort of reinforces the, like, logic of the scarcity politics around all of it, right? If you threaten to threaten to defund an entire, public health agency or something like that, or environmental agency, then, like, anything seems better than that by comparison. And then, you know, it just sort of locks in a lot of the, like, reductions and overall, like, you know, because, again, especially with how fast things are growing, or needs to just go into new directions and new programs, like, in order to just keep going at the level you're going at, you're going to need to increase it every year, pretty much. So just saying, oh, we got another $1 billion or whatever is not necessarily very much.
Right. And I have to say, from, like, the position of somebody who works with CDC, we are kind of entering a new phase of how we do things with the advent of next generation sequencing, also known as whole genome sequencing. We're kind of trying to shift a lot of our microbial biological testing over to more of a sequence-based approach, and that is extremely expensive. And so they've kind of funded giving sequencers to the states so they can kind of do a decentralized model, so CDC doesn't have to do all this testing on its own. But they did not fund it very well. This year, we just got our funding notification for the next federal fiscal year, and it is not pretty. We have about enough money to do half of the testing that they're requesting. So it's definitely an issue where, with these new technologies that come along, they're a lot more expensive, at least until maybe Moore's Law jumps in and makes it a little bit more or less expensive over time. But right now we're in a real funding crisis where we aren't getting the money that we need to do the testing that keeps people safe, especially from like a surveillance standpoint. If we can only do half the testing we need for foodborne outbreak surveillance, there's a lot of gaps and a lot of people can fall into those gaps and get sick from preventable diseases if we can track outbreaks quicker and get the testing done faster. So if we had gotten an extra $17 billion this upcoming fiscal year, that would have definitely been a step in the right direction. And the fact that we're kind of touting a $1 billion victory is very bittersweet to me.
Nate, you had any thoughts on the non-defense side of this spending bill?
Yeah, I was just thinking how this seems familiar to the sort of unfunded mandates of the Bush administration. Like, that was a big talking point back then, I remember, specifically with regard to No Child Left Behind, and just basically saying, oh yeah, we need you to do all this stuff, but by the way, we're not going to give you any money, so figure it out. Mm-hmm. And this is, like, as you mentioned, like, this could lead to various foodborne diseases, outbreaks and things like that, so probably not what we want to be messing around with, but this is what we have, so.
Right, and also I don't know if it's, I think it's on the national level, but definitely in our state, sexually transmitted infections are shooting up. Like, our infection rates are way more than they have been for the last, like, decade. And a lot of that is due to lack of money for testing on the, like, health district and the state level. So I think that's and I think they're doing a lot of genomic work on tracking STIs as well. So that's another gap where funding would definitely be helpful.
Any other concluding thoughts from anyone on all of this?
Yeah, I guess I would just say that, especially with regard to the littoral combat ship, I mean, obviously, this doesn't seem like an actually needed program, but it's also the situation where they are locked into providing this program. They're cutting the actual things that would make it useful, so like minesweeping and other different types of countermeasures, anti-submarine type of stuff. And it's all just sort of vulnerable to the whims of basically, you know, people looking out to make sure, oh, there's enough jobs in this shipyard or whatnot, and they sort of choose how everything gets done there. And so I think there was a situation where it's mentioned one of these task and purpose articles where the military and the Navy is now like scared that they might not actually have like minesweeping capacity anymore, or it could be done like have to be done on an ad hoc basis because it's just they made these ships that they thought they were going to work, and it turns out they don't really work and they're not really actually doing the whole project. So I don't, it's just, it's a disaster. But anyway, that's fun.
Well, Nate, thanks for being here this week.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks, Rachel.
And Rachel, thank you as well.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
That's all the time we have this week. Tweet us your comments at AFD Radio or email AFDradio@gmail.com. The show is available for download from ArsenalForDemocracy.com on Tuesdays. You can hear it on the air in Delaware from 91.3 FM WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark every Tuesday at noon Eastern. Our theme music was composed for us by Stuntbird. If there are articles or papers discussed in an episode, we usually post links to them on ArsenalForDemocracy.com along with each episode. From my studio in Newton, Massachusetts, I'm Bill Humphrey, and I approve this message.